Erdogan is back in the presidential palace, so what next for Turkey's economy? Hello and thanks for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne and we've got a lot to get through this Monday morning. First up, the Turkish lira has slipped to a record low after we finally got a result in Turkey's presidential election. President Erdogan will serve another five-year term, taking his rule into a third decade. He presides over an economy in crisis. Although it's been dropping in recent months, Turkey's inflation rate is sitting at more than 40%. The BBC's Orla Girin reports.
The president's supporters celebrated late into the night, welcoming the beginning of his third decade in power. In his victory speech, he promised unity, but in the next breath targeted both the opposition and the LGBTQ community. He didn't dwell on the economy, but experts say under his stewardship, it's heading for catastrophe. His opponents are warning of the dangers of a latter-day sultan with too much power in his hands. The opposition is licking its wounds and forecasting troubles ahead for Turkey.
Now, let's do the numbers. Last week, markets were a bit nervy with the possibility of US debt default. Now, there's an agreement in principle, still to be voted through, of course, but Germany's DAX is up slightly by 0.1%. Markets in the US and the UK are closed today, so I'm sure we'll get a reaction from them tomorrow. 70 years ago, today, two climbers made the first successful ascent of Mount Everest and it changed the business of mountaineering forever. BBC reporter Matt Lyne spoke to Jonathan Riley. He's director and owner of the British Expedition Company and he runs tours to Everest Base Camp. He says to do the climb, it'll cost you.
So our trips to Everest Base Camp, they're in that sort of 2,400, 2,600 price bracket. To do Everest itself is a big, big step up, both in terms of mountaineering experience, but in terms of cost. You're looking at the sort of the £50,000 mark to have an expedition to the summit of Everest. But that doesn't really include all of the things. You know, you're looking at another £5,000-£10,000 worth of kit, a substantial sum for travel insurance, and then also flights on top of that.
Jonathan Riley from the British Expedition Company. Now, with its currency in shreds, people living below the poverty line and a great chunk of its waterfront still recovering from the enormous explosion in its port nearly 3 years ago, you'd think the Lebanese capital Beirut would struggle to maintain a club scene. Actually, it's still very active. The BBC's Frank McWeeny reports.
Entering the cargo elevator to reach the club. When you're going up, you hear the music going closer and closer and closer. You get pumped up as you go up, and then the two doors of the elevator open up and you see something that you wouldn't expect here in the heart of this industrial area.
This is Jade, a DJ, producer and founder of The Grand Factory, one of Beirut's most loved underground music spaces since 2014. It reopened its doors last January, almost 3 years on from one of the world's biggest non-nuclear explosions.
It's still work in progress. It was a problem sourcing material due to the crisis.
Can you give me a bit of an idea of what it's like to actually try and run something like this in an environment like Beirut?
So first of all, no electricity. We have to buy generators and buy our fuel. A country that has no infrastructure, trash crisis, water crisis. No government for a while, then one of the biggest non-nuclear explosion ever. Problems with the elections. To survive such a rough environment and such a tough city where you don't have an influx of tourists, where you don't have a stable economy, where you don't have any assistance, you have to be 10 times more organized.
It's 1 a.m. at the Grand Factory. The party is just getting started. The ceiling is about 5 meters high and huge windows. Directly on my right is the Beirut seaport. And in front of me, the stage. We're facing northeast. I can see the city lights going up a small part of Mount Lebanon mountain range.
In spite of Lebanon's worst crisis in generations, Jade found ways to keep the club going.
Giving free entrances for an hour. Anybody that buys a ticket for our monthly or bi-monthly warehouse events, they get free entrance to all our club nights. It's been a struggle. Let's see. I'm positive, but we have to keep the energy high.
It's 2 a.m. and I'm seeing a lot of smiles and hands in the air moments. Tough challenges have been overcome and I can sense a strong determination to keep dancing despite those that lie ahead.
Today, we party as a form of survival. Before, people used to say, the Lebanese Day party to forget. No, really, like, it's a statement.
Wass Boumalham is a DJ and producer who's playing shortly.
I'm playing a bit of my production, Haram Electric. Haram Electric for me is the sound that I wanted to hear growing up. My generation was more geared towards the West because there wasn't alternative Arabic music happening in the region.
Hi, my name is Blue Pfeiffer. I'm an artist, producer, director, and pole dancer, and I'm the founder of Lebanese label Mafi Budget, which translates to There Is No Budget. There's so much work to be done, there's so much darkness, there's so much destruction, but it's like one of the most epic places ever. Every night is like the last night. Let's go.
You don't know
way.
What's coming tomorrow.
No, you don't. We learned that the hard way, I think.
When you analyze that feeling that you see at night, it is the biggest example that music brings people together.
Frank McGuinney reporting, and that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to Ollie Dalbert-Hansen for producing, Will Bain editing today, and I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.